From the studios of Kootenai Co-op Radio, this is Deconstructing Dinner.
And you're tuned in to another installment of Deconstructing Dinner, a syndicated weekly one-hour radio show and podcast produced at Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia. I'm John Steinman. Today's episode is being recorded from the shores of the Georgia Strait on Vancouver Island, British Columbia. I'm here in the community of Courtenay, attending the annual conference of the Canadian Farm Writers Federation. In just a short while, I'll be embarking on a short trip up to the community of Campbell River, where I'll then be boarding a boat and taken to one of the many controversial open-net salmon farms operating in this region. What's unique about this trip is that only days earlier, I was sitting in a courtroom of the British Columbia Supreme Court, where the very regulations governing these farms is being challenged by a group of petitioners led by well-known scientist Alexandra Morton, along with the BC Ministry of Agriculture and Lands, who is a respondent to this case, the company who is being used as the test case in this possibly precedent-setting decision is Marine Harvest, the very same company whose fish farm I'm about to visit. So you can stay tuned for some interesting recordings in the next few weeks. But until then, on today's broadcast, we'll take you to Ottawa, where on Monday, September 29th, a national debate on agriculture took place leading up to the October 14th federal election. Hosted by the Canadian Federation of Agriculture and broadcast on CPAC, the cable public affairs channel, weighing in on the debate was Minister of Agriculture and Conservative Party candidate for the riding of Battleford, Saskatchewan, Jerry Ritz, Liberal Party Member of Parliament for the riding of Malpeque, Prince Edward Island, Wayne Easter, the New Democrat Party or NDP's Member of Parliament for Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Tony Martin, and Green Party candidate for the riding of Dauphin, Swan River, Marquette in Manitoba, Kate Story. On today's one-hour broadcast, we'll have a chance to listen to four segments from the September 29th agriculture debate in Ottawa. The full two-hour debate is available on CPAC's website, and that video will be linked to from the Deconstructing Dinner website at deconstructingdinner.ca. The debate was moderated by Hugh Maynard, who, among some of his roles within agricultural media, is the Secretary-Treasurer of the Canadian Farm Writers Federation, the CFWF, the host of the conference I'm here in Courtenay attending. And so here is the first segment of opening remarks from the four candidates at the 2008 agriculture debate in Ottawa.
Well, thank you, Hugh. Good morning, everyone. Bonjour tout le monde. I was chatting with Wayne as we came down the stairs. We have a bank meeting just next door, so anybody that needs to renegotiate their farm loan for harvest, it'd be a good opportunity to kill two birds with one stone here this morning. As you all know, Conservatives have one bedrock agricultural principle: farmers first. That seems obvious, but Liberals and NDP failed to even mention farmers in budgets that they supported. As you know, this summer, our Conservative government, in partnership with the provinces and territories, signed Growing Forward, a national agricultural framework. That new agreement delivered on our promise to get rid of the flawed Liberal CASE program. We're working with industry to deliver real results for farmers through new programs such as AgriStability, AgriInvest, and AgriRecovery. We will build on the Growing Forward format with a new agricultural flexibility program. We're committing $500 million to this program. We'll continue to work with industry, provinces, and territories to invest this money in key region-specific programming. Conservatives will also invest $50 million to immediately expand livestock slaughter capacity across Canada. A re-elected Conservative government will continue to stand firm for our supply-managed sectors. We've delivered real action with cheese compositional standards that make sure there's real milk in Canadian cheese, Article 28 under GATT, and of course the WTO special safeguards to protect supply management. As a farmer who grew up in Saskatchewan, it's insulting that opposition parties don't think that we Western Canadian farmers are smart enough to choose how to market our own grain. We remain committed to delivering market freedom in Western Canada. Canadian families are looking for safe, healthy foods that our farmers produce. Unfortunately, the Liberals thought it was okay to call a completely imported food Canadian if the production costs happened here. In typical Liberal fashion, they were more worried about cost than content. Your Conservative government redefined labelling regulations so that any food labelled product of Canada must be Canadian inside and out. We've delivered real action for food and product safety with $113 million in last spring's budget. The Liberals and NDP failed to support that particular action. Our Conservative government has put 200 new frontline food inspectors and we're hiring more. That investment is essential after years of cuts. In this election, Canadian farm families have an important choice, a clear choice. A re-elected Stephen Harper will continue to stand up for Canadian farmers. A Stéphane Dion carbon tax will crush Canadian agriculture. Conservatives will cut the excise tax on diesel in half. Stéphane Dion will drive up that same tax by 175%. Liberals have made all kinds of promises, but even their finance critic, John McCallum, says it's just not possible to say which programs and promises they will actually follow through. Farmers know Liberals always start their cuts with agriculture. A re-elected Stephen Harper government will protect Canadian farmers from a crushing carbon tax and will continue to put farmers first in all of our agricultural policies. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister Ritz. Thank you for respecting the time. And now we'll move to Wayne Easter.
Thank you very much. While this debate is about agriculture today and the Liberal Party will make major investments to support Canadian farm families as we always have, it's also about Canada and the kind of Canada we want. Agriculture policy goes to the heart, I believe, of what a national government should be. And that is to use the authorities and the spending powers of the federal government to assist industries in their time of need, be it manufacturing or be it agriculture, and there is a split jurisdiction in agriculture. In other words, the federal government should make Canada stronger than the sum of its parts. Liberal governments have shown in the past that that is the way they govern. They have been there for industries in their time of need. Stephen Harper, of course, has shown an opposite views, downloading and downsizing in terms of the federal government, lessening the authority and the responsibility of the federal government, and we have certainly seen that in the food safety issue. He hasn't told us where he wants to go, but we do have the secret document which shows the federal government is lessening its responsibility over food safety in this country. This is a government, the Harper government, that has clearly failed the farm community and has not lived up to their commitments. It's a Harper government that is based on power and ideology. It's his way or the highway, and we've certainly seen that with his ideological attack on the Canadian Wheat Board, in which this government has broken every democratic principle known in a democracy. A Liberal government will make major investments to help farmers more become more fuel efficient, reward farmers for their contributions to the environment, and invest in research for green solutions from agriculture, while also providing specific regional support and solutions for the economic risks that confront farmers. We will put $400 million into emissions reduction credit program, $250 million into a green farmers fund, $250 million into a fisheries and transportation green fund, $560 million into a regional flexibility fund, which is for what farmers ask us to do. Business risk management is what Ontario farmers wanted. That's what they will get under a Liberal government. We'll put in place a new $30 million program to support the promotion of local farm markets and brand Canadian grown products. We'll restore farmer control over a strong democratic Canadian wheat board. We'll protect the three pillars of supply management. We'll call for a full cost railway review of the railways who have been gouging farmers in Western Canada, and we'll call for immediate moratorium on short line rail closures. We want farmers to be at the cutting edge of change and to be able to derive economic benefits from environmental change, be paid for what they contribute to the environment, and also have a sound safety net.
Thank you, Mr. Easter. We'll now move to Kate Storey. Your time.
I am proud to be here today to represent the Green Party of Canada. I'm a farmer, a real farmer. Organic grain, cattle, hogs, a typical medium-sized mixed farming operation. I became involved in politics because I don't like what I've been hearing from this Conservative government or from the previous Liberal government. I care about my farm, my family, and my community. I want to be paid fairly for the food that I produce, and I want time to enjoy farming without an off-the-farm job and without crushing debt. The new Growing Forward framework is just more of the same old Liberal Conservative policy that has caused the destruction of rural Canada. competitive, innovative growth? When will we learn that what these words really mean? Competitive means low prices. Innovative means high costs. Risk. Growth means risk to me, the farmer. These are illusions put out by those who see farms as merely a low-cost producer of cheap ingredients which will allow other sectors to profit. Value chains are an admission by our governments that they have abandoned the family farm and know that the only profit in agriculture today is in processing and marketing. Expanded trade has never resulted in better farm incomes, as trade has expanded since 1989. Trade has doubled and farm incomes have crashed. Yield increases have not been the result of innovative technologies, but rather only due to increased fertilizer use, and those fertilizer supplies are running out. We need a new plan for Canadian agriculture, a plan which recognizes today's reality of high costs and a rising demand for quality, local food, a plan that puts farm families first. The Green Party has that plan. We will research management techniques which avoid high input costs and minimize risk. We will support orderly, cooperative marketing, like supply management, and we will support the Canadian Wheat Board. We will find ways to encourage young farmers and help them avoid the debt trap. We will revitalize our rural communities by encouraging small farms and local food systems and fair trade. We will recognize the economic value of environmental protection and pay farmers for their stewardship. The Green Party plan for agriculture recognizes that farm families are the cornerstone of every economy.
And for the last presentation, Tony Martin, please.
Thank you and good morning. I want to thank the Canadian Federation of Agriculture for hosting this debate. Last Saturday night, I was sitting with Jack Tindall and his wife, Luann, on the front porch of their farmhouse outside of Deborah in my riding of Sault Ste. Marie in northern Ontario. He's the farmer I brought to Ottawa 4 years ago during the BSE crisis to meet with the Liberal government and my caucus. They tell me not much has changed since then, except there are fewer people farming. They speak of the need for real income security. They're tired of programs being announced to great fanfare and then dropped when they are most needed. Farmers everywhere need a government that will honor their promises and be there for them. The Family Farm Options Program, introduced by the Conservatives 2 years ago, still hasn't paid out its second and final payment and has now been cancelled. We as New Democrats will revamp CASE to make it more predictable, easier to access, and quicker to pay out. For too many farmers, it's becoming almost too expensive to stay in business with the increasing cost of inputs, particularly energy and fertilizer. Farmers cannot absorb another tax on energy. They like our cap and trade idea, particularly our using the money generated on solutions. And believe me, farmers have lots of solutions. They want a government that will stand up for them at trade talks with other countries. They want supply management and the Wheat Board to be protected. Jack remembers Brian Mulroney selling farmers out at the altar of free trade and the abandoning of the Tripartite Stabilization Board. This trend of getting rid of anything that pays farmers continues to this day through subsequent Conservative and Liberal governments. The Liberals gave away the family farm to corporations, and the Conservatives are giving away the store with their $50 billion corporate tax break. This will leave the cupboard empty as farmers, who will be hit hard, have to deal with the coming downturn in the economy. Yesterday, Jack Layton released the New Democrats platform. It is farmer-friendly. We have implemented income stabilization programs tailored for each commodity sector. We will focus on family farms that most need the support. We will help preserve orderly Canadian marketing systems and eliminate predatory export practices. We will improve access to farm safety net funding for natural disasters and poor markets. We will support more value-added processing for jobs and local co-ops. Through the Competition Act, we will limit meat packers' ownership of cattle. We will defend the Wheat Board. We will take action to ensure the food you buy in the store is safe. We will greatly increase the number of inspectors in plants requiring labeling of genetically engineered foods. We will ban Terminator seeds, require full accuracy and accountability for labels stating made in Canada. We will, with partners, implement a Canadian organic food and agricultural strategy. Thank you very much, and I look forward to your questions.
And this is Deconstructing Dinner. That was a recording made available by CPAC, the cable public affairs channel who broadcast the September 29th, 2008 agriculture debate in Ottawa. As we head towards the October 14th federal election, debating the subject of food is a rare occurrence within any federal election. So for many, some of the topics covered were a refreshing sign that food is indeed receiving some much-needed political attention. In these next few segments from the debate, you'll hear mention of genetically engineered foods, community-supported agriculture, and local food charters, among other innovative projects such as those we like to feature here on the show. Again, the four candidates who you'll be listening to over the remainder of the hour are the Green Party's Kate Storey, the Liberal Party of Canada's Wayne Easter, Conservative Party of Canada's Jerry Ritz, and the NDP's Tony Martin. The Bloc Québécois did not field a representative for the debate. In this next segment from the debate, discussed is the future of farms in Canada, an important topic that has also been an ongoing one here on Deconstructing Dinner. And here's debate moderator Hugh Maynard.
I'm going to repeat the questions in English and French to make sure that we're all up to date. La question, c'est la relève. What action will your party take to create a fair and reasonable farm succession system for Canadian farmers? What will your party do to allow young farmers to take over farms without an unreasonable debt load? And the third question, la troisième, what will your party do to allow older farmers to retire with dignity and financial security? So there's three questions there. You can address them. 2 minutes. Kate Storey.
Family farms are the source of young farm workers who understand the relationship between soil and weather and livestock. These are intuitive skills which take years to develop and cannot be taught in a classroom. And yet, our governments do not value this human resource. They have neglected to help our young farmers to find ways to start farming without a crushing debt, which makes it impossible for them to earn a fair wage. The retiring parents need a steady income. The young farmer needs freedom from debt. A government which truly wanted to help young farmers would set up a third-party non-profit agency to guide the gradual transfer of farm ownership without indenturing the next generation to the banks. The Green Party would help farmers help themselves to transfer those assets and to avoid interest payments. This is especially important in today's uncertain debt market. We do not want to bind our young farmers to debt while interest rates rise over the next years. By setting up a legal agreement, the parents get a steady retirement income. The young farmers would avoid interest payments. Many families have attempted to do this type of transfer themselves, but with today's multi-million dollar operations, the cost of a mistake can be enormous. This agency would ensure a legal transaction, deal with any tax complications, and ensure a plan to transfer the estate if necessary. Of course, the banks would not like this scheme as it prevents them from saddling yet another generation with debt. Perhaps that is why both Liberal and Conservative parties have ignored this elegant solution to farm succession. Thank you.
Thank you. Move to Tony Martin on the question of farm succession.
Well, thank you very much, and I think this is a really important question, and I think we need to understand what we're asking here. If you're talking about transferring your land off to somebody else to make some income to pass it on to your kids, that's one thing, or selling off your land. If you're talking about having your kids take over your farm, moving the family farm from one generation to the next, that's a completely different challenge and question altogether. And I know when I sit down and talk with farmers in my area, and I look at who's running the farms in East Algoma, in the Sault Ste. Marie area, it's not young people. And the farmers themselves are really concerned that they're young people that they've sent away, and they've spent a lot of money educating some of them to agricultural schools, are just not interested in coming back. because the farm isn't viable anymore. The family farm isn't viable anymore. And this has happened over, you know, a period of 10 to 15 years under the stewardship of our conservative and liberal colleagues here. We need to get serious about protecting the family farm. We need to be doing some things that say to the young people, farming is a good way to make a living. Farming can be viable. You know, you don't need to live in poverty. You don't need to have two or three jobs off the farm to make ends meet. We need to be putting in our platform things that will attract young people. Young people who, you know, want to start a career and want to have a family, like, you know, the commitment we made yesterday to a new child benefit that will give $400 per month per child, tax-free, up to children of age 18. This could be the beginning of a decent basic income in our country for farm families. Also, the introduction of more daycare spaces, so that our farm families can be confident that, you know, even though they're on the farm, perhaps away from the community, they can still have access to that really important early learning for their children. This would go a long ways to attracting young people back to the farm and will make it easier for farmers today who want to pass the farm on to their children for that to actually happen.
Thank you. Minister Roots.
Thank you, Patrice, for the question. Of course, the greatest farm succession program is a positive bottom line. We have made some changes to taxation in the last 2 years as government. We've increased the capital gains exemption from $500,000 to $750,000, which means farmers, of course, pay less tax when selling to the next generation. And another one that we have made a change to, we made it possible for farmers to transfer property to their sons and daughters and postpone the capital gains tax until the land is sold again. That is a huge change. I know when I was buying the farm from my dad, this would have been something that we certainly could have and would have made use of. We've revamped the farm support programs to make it easier for new and beginning farmers to get access to the dollars in those support programs. We have changed the GST from 7 to 5%, which makes a tremendous difference when you're selling land and assets. It's another 2% off the top that does not have to be borne by the next generation. Of course, as farmers have changed, they've gone to a corporate structure, which makes it a lot easier to do rollover provisions than a straight person-to-person type of transition. And of course, in this campaign, we've also made the announcement that EI benefits will be available to farm families on a voluntary basis should they decide to take that up. And as we bring young farmers back to the land, they're going to start having families, and these EI benefits will be a huge benefit to them at that time.
Thank you. And to close the presentation segment, Wayne Easter.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. The key to bringing young farmers into the industry is certainly a profitable industry. Being able to receive your cost of production and a fair return on your labor and investment. That's key to bring young people in. Young people are saying today that they don't want to come into the industry because there's not the firm programming and there's not the profit in the sector for them to be able to come in, and they are looking to other options. That's sad, because there isn't a more honorable profession in the country than farming, and farmers are the generators of economic wealth, I believe, for this country, just that they don't retain enough economic wealth in their own pockets. So number one is having the kind of income policies and farm income stability programs that we talked about in the previous discussion. And what's needed is a business risk management proposal with that AgriFlex program that will allow that income stability and return to cost of production. That's key. The Liberal government had also previously put in place the Canadian Agriculture Skills Services. That is a help. Indeed, as the Minister says, the capital gains exemption and succession in terms of taxes also needs to remain in place so that those young farmers coming into the industry are not burdened with unnecessary taxes. The key to moving ahead is to have a government that believes in developing social and economic policy for the nation as a whole that matter to people on the ground. And you will get that with a Liberal government. They have shown it in the past. A government working in partnership with industry, not shutting the door if the government or the Prime Minister doesn't agree with your ideology, as we've seen in some of the marketing programs.
Thank you, everybody. And now we'll move into the four-minute segment for the debate. We'll start with Kate Storey. And you referred to a third-party agency. Maybe you can elaborate on that.
This is what farm families are trying to do for themselves. But government should be behind them, trying to make it work, to train, to teach, and to lead. Honorable Wayne Easter there just said that that his government is there for farm families. Well, I haven't seen that on my farm. I have seen policies from that government and the Conservative government that put production first and family farms last. That's why we don't have young farmers. We don't have them because our commodities are worth nothing. Our policies are geared toward overproduction, forcing those exports on those commodities onto the export market. And the prices have been driven so low that our young farmers can't take part in this industry.
Let's address the question, what are we going to do? We know what the problems are. What are we going to do?
Well, our colleague from the Green Party talks about another agency, and I suppose, I'm not sure if more bureaucracy is going to fix this. What our young people, who are more educated than we've ever been and who understand the complex forces at play in farming, want is they want to know and feel confident that their government, and they haven't felt that for the last 15 years, is going to stand shoulder to shoulder with them when natural disasters happen, when markets collapse, but particularly when our government goes to some of these trade tables and they start trading away the unique Canadian vehicles that we have put in place, to support our farmers and to protect our domestic market. With this, far out idea that somehow those other countries are going to reduce or do away with their subsidies. It ain't going to happen, folks. And our kids know that if the government isn't going to stand with them in these very important discussions and debates, our farming industry is going down the river. And they're not going to come back to the farm and work in that kind of environment.
Thank you, Hugh. Of course, this is a debate that's gone on for decades. How do you roll over to the farm to the next generation? I've often made comment about reading my grandfather's journals, from the 20s, 30s, 40s. As his farm developed, how did he roll it over to his sons? And it's been a problem for years. I know the next generation of farmers that's out there, the new and beginning farmers, are well-educated, they're innovative, and they look at farming from sound business standards. They tend to focus more on proactive programming than they do on reactive. Yes, they want the safety nets there if there is a disaster, weather-related or flood, drought, whatever, but they do want to see proactive. They want to see trade. They want to see us out there promoting their product. They want new and innovative ways to process that product so that they can value add and then move it into the marketplace. Product of Canada labeling is a good example. I know we'll get into that in a little bit later. But I know there are two situations that would destroy the bottom line and would keep young farmers from even entertaining the idea. One is this whole concept of a carbon tax that would rip the heart and soul out of agriculture. And another one is anybody trying to raise corporate taxes, because the vast majority of farms and farmers out there are incorporated and would face those higher rates. That would chase everybody away.
Wayne, last word.
This is where the Harper government gets it all wrong, and the minister's last comment shows how the Harper government has their head in the sand. You know what this country needs and what young people are telling us they want to deal with the climate change issue. And what the minister keeps talking about and is the propaganda campaign coming out of the Prime Minister's office. The Green Shift proposal is about the future. $400 million under emission credits to the farm community to actually give them credit for the environmental good that they do. Carbon sinks and those kind of opportunities. $250 million Green Farm Fund so that our young people can be at the cutting edge of environmental change and gain economy from the environmental good that they do. They, in fact, will receive greater returns. Yes, there's a tax on fuel, but we have to find the ways to use less fossil fuels, not this game of dropping 2 cents a litre. That was already lost in the market after the Prime Minister's announcements. That's crazy. Young people want to be able to make the changes, help the environment, and gain economy by doing so, and they can do that under the Liberal Green Shift plan.
And this is Deconstructing Dinner, a syndicated weekly one-hour radio show and podcast produced at Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY, in Nelson, British Columbia. I'm John Steinman. Today's episode is being brought to you from the 2008 Canadian Farm Writers Federation Conference in Courtenay on Vancouver Island, where I now stand. and you can stay tuned for recordings from the conference on future broadcasts. But today we continue on with the 2008 agriculture debate, which, leading up to the October 14th federal election, was held in Ottawa on September 29th and hosted by the Canadian Federation of Agriculture. The debate was broadcast on CPAC, the cable public affairs channel, and weighing in on the debate was Minister of Agriculture and Conservative Party candidate for the riding of Battleford, Saskatchewan, Jerry Ritz, a Liberal Party member of Parliament for the riding of Malpeque, Prince Edward Island, Wayne Easter, the New Democrat Party or NDP's member of Parliament for Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Tony Martin, and Green Party candidate for the riding of Dauphin, Swan River, Marquette in Manitoba, Kate Story. Today's broadcast will be archived on the Deconstructing Dinner website at deconstructingdinner.ca, and you can link to the full two-hour televised broadcast on CPAC by linking to it from our website as well. In this next segment, we move on to the topic of the environment, and in particular, a pilot project currently underway in Manitoba called ALIS, or Alternative Land Use Services. The program is an incentives-based ecological goods and services project for farmers that recognizes the value of conserving and restoring Canada's natural capital. And here again is debate moderator Hugh Maynard.
So on the question of environmental stewardship and climate change linked together there, will your party implement an adequately funded program like ALIS, Alternative Land Use Services, that is incentive-driven and provides a market for the ecological goods and services that farmers provide? The two-minute presentation segment, Tony Martin.
Well, I think that's a positive and constructive approach. I know that farmers want to be responsible stewards of their environment, because not only does it affect, you know, the folks in the cities who seem to be the people raising this issue the most, but it affects them very directly too. It affects their future and their ability to farm sustainably into the future. And if we're, as we said in the last question, going to turn this business over to our children, we need to be doing things today that guarantees that it'll be there. Although I do have to tell you that given the increasing cost of inputs in fertilizer and fuel, they're not excited about a new carbon tax that will increase the cost of their fuels. They don't mind talking about, and actually have indicated that they're interested in, the cap and trade that we're putting forward, and particularly in the fact that cap and trade will produce revenues that then we will use not to cut income taxes, but to invest very directly and in a focused fashion in the solutions. And as I said before, farmers have lots of good ideas, like the one that was just presented, in terms of how we bring forward some really good solutions. What are we saying in this election as platform? Well, we're saying that we will implement a Canadian organic food and agricultural strategy, which will include the ban of use of Terminator seeds and protect every farmer's right to choose, save, and control their seeds. We're talking about providing transition funding for education, equipment, and training for farmers who wish to shift to organic or biointensive integrated pest management systems of agriculture. We also suggest we will support and facilitate environmentally friendly farming methods, including low tillage, water conservation, and reduced fertilizer and pesticide use. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And on the question of environmental stewardship and ALIS, Minister Ritz.
Thank you, Hugh. You know, Tony says farmers want to be good stewards. I'll go a little bit further than that. I know they are good stewards, because their future livelihood depends on how they handle their equipment and their land and so forth. We've worked closely with farmers and industry to deliver on-farm environmental farm plans. They've been taken up extremely well in the last few years under our tenure. The focus was very, very narrow in the original APF, and there were a lot of issues that were never addressed. We changed the format, the focus. Those programs are to the point now where they're oversubscribed, and we've had to go back to Treasury Board to find more money to develop those programs even further. And these farm plans support common sense innovations, like new and better ways to handle manure on livestock farms. GPS steering, which may not mean a lot to a smaller farmer, but out in my country where we farm on the mile, it makes a tremendous difference on the amount of fertilizer, chemical, and so on that you apply when that GPS guides you down that field in a much more reasonable way than when you get tired and start to nod off. We've accelerated the capital gains allowances for renewable energy equipment, such as biodigesters, methane recaptures, all of those types of things, and we're seeing more and more of that interoperability on the farm and developing those effective ways to make use of those hazardous products that really have no other use. We're giving farmers better and more access to the new generation of pesticides, fertilizers, and so on that are more environmentally friendly. We've spent a tremendous amount of money and energy to develop those types of programming. We're working very closely with the organic situation. They do have an exemption under the wheat board, and there are more and more people making use of that and value-adding to those products to export them out in the world. Again, folks, when we're talking environmental stewardship and you talk about a carbon tax, you won't see the emissions go down, but you will see your fuel bills go up. It's not the right way to go. Thank you.
Thank you. Environmental stewardship, Wayne Easter.
Thank you. thank you, Chair. And I certainly agree with Doug's question. And a Liberal government will, in fact, work with farmers such they are an important part of the solution. And in fact, that's why we put out the challenge and the discussion in terms of the green shift. We discussed that and debated it all summer. And as a result of those discussions and what farmers told us, we did adjust the program so that there is economic opportunities for the farm community there in terms of dealing with the environmental question. In fact, to the tune that we will put $9 billion back into the rural Canada over 4 years under that program. That's opportunity for Canadian farmers to use new technologies, to use minimum tillage carbon sinks, to use manure management, land set asides, produce biomass energy so that farmers can take advantage of that opportunity that is there. The challenge of this century, I believe, is to be environmental change. And we need to ensure that we are a part of that. And how do we make the farm community a part of it? We do it with the kind of program that the Liberals have proposed, which will return far more money to the farm community, lessen their dependence on fossil fuels, and create economic possibilities for those farmers moving forward. That's where the young people want to go. And that's how we make this a better economy for the rural areas and a better country in terms of global change, economic climate change around the world.
Thank you. And we certainly didn't plan this, but the last word on environmental stewardship goes to the Green Party.
In a world which is beginning to put a price on carbon, it is important to enable farmers to engage in opportunities to sequester carbon and to recognize their good farm stewardship. The Green Party supports research into sustainable farming methods, carbon sequestration, and energy conservation. We support environmental goods and services programs as a way to reward farmers for the maintenance of clean water, pure air, and diverse ecosystems. Alternative Land Use Services, or ALUS, is a pilot project one of which are in the rural municipality of Blanchard in Manitoba, in my riding. It is proving to be both popular with landowners and effective in environmental protection. This program is designed to comply with the trade rules, offers a range of payments depending on the type of habitat. Riparian zones, forests, grasslands, and wetlands can all become an asset to the farmer who values natural ecosystems. The environment is the foundation of all economies. The cost of failing to protect our ecosystems is huge, including severe weather, drought, loss of water resources, crop disease, and failed harvests. The market encourages exploitation and results in a boom and bust economy, as we can see today. We cannot depend on market forces to bring sustainability. Sustainability takes good public policy and balanced regulation. The Green Party believes that the government should be proactive in rewarding farmers for proper management now so we can avoid problems later. Thank you.
Thank you all for those presentations. Now we go to the debate segment, starting with Tony Martin. What will your party do to fund an ecological goods and services that the farmers are requesting?
A couple of the things that we haven't talked about yet under this this heading that obviously the Liberals and the Conservatives have not been able to get their head around or get serious about, and it's been brought to me again by farmers, matter of fact, at the first meeting I had with my farm community back when I got elected in 2004 was this question of land set-asides, you know, for a million reasons. You know, it's either wetland or it's some species that's at risk, you know, and they're saying we're losing our land here. And nobody seems to be interested in coming and talking to us about what we do about that. And I'm suggesting, I'm suggesting it because a farmer suggested it to me, is that, you know, there needs to be some form of compensation here. Government needs to be, you know, if this land is going to be set aside in the interest of the public good, you know, and protecting wetlands for the environment or protecting a species, which we think is really, really important, then we as a government need to be coming to the table and saying, okay, how much is this worth to you? Because the conflict that we see now between government and environmental groups and farmers about these issues is unhelpful. It's not productive. It's not constructive.
Can we fund an ALICE program from your parties?
Yes, we can. That's what I'm talking about in terms of $9 billion being returned to the farm community over 4 years. That's investment, environmental change, an investment that will make a difference in farmers' bottom lines, that will attract young people into this industry to be at the cutting edge of environmental change. And Tony, you know, I look at your party's platform, and it will bring the economy to a stall. And I look at the Conservative Party, the Harperites' platform, and what they don't tell you is they also have a plan in terms of the green economy. It's in a document called Turning the Corner. And they talk about putting real economic impact on Canadians as the increase by taxing and by regulatory programs, putting in place a cost on carbon as well. Does anybody in this room think that won't impact right down the line in terms of gas and diesel and furnace oil prices? What I would like to know from the minister is how much is their program going to cost?
Minister,
and why is their program not going to return benefits to the farm community as the Liberal plan does?
Ask the question, Minister.
Thank you, Hugh. I'm happy to jump in. I allowed Wayne to go first in the sense of joining in. You're welcome, Wayne. We did change the scope of the environmental farm plans, first and foremost, when we took office, to make sure that what farmers wanted was acceptable to those programs. I too, certainly agree with the premise of the ALICE situation that Doug brought up and a couple of people have talked to. That's why my department funded those pilot projects. You know, we are assessing how they worked out. We did three across the country to get an idea of what would be included. As I said before, the devil's in the details. How much land? How is it administrated? Can budgets at the federal and provincial and even municipal level, for that matter, afford to take that on? And those are what the pilot projects were all about, and we'll look forward to those results. We've put a lot of energy and a lot of work into biofuels, both ethanol and biodiesel. The 5% targets that we have on ethanol and 2% on biodiesel take less than 5% of Canadian farmers' production capability. The weather's a bigger factor than that, Hugh. Everybody knows that. And Mr. Easter keeps going back to their tax everything that moves plan as somehow being revenue neutral. And I've also heard them say that there'd be no administration costs. And $900 million going in and out, no administration costs. Can anybody spell gun registry here?
And this is Deconstructing Dinner and recordings from the September 29th agriculture debate in Ottawa. In this last segment from the debate, discussed and debated is the topic of Product of Canada labeling, a recently controversial one of which the rules have recently been amended. Again, the four candidates on the floor are the Green Party's Kate Storey, the Liberal Party of Canada's Wayne Easter, Conservative Party of Canada's Jerry Ritz, and the NDP's Tony Martin. You'll hear Tony Martin begin the segment of short presentations following this introduction by moderator Hugh Maynard.
So on question 7, Products of Canada labelling, we have a question posed by Garnet Etzel from Abbotsford, BC. He's a turkey producer.
My name is Garnet Etzel, and together with our family, we operate a turkey farm in Abbotsford, British Columbia. Over the past year, media reports have highlighted consumer confusion over foreign products being labeled as Product of Canada. Farm groups have repeatedly called for labels that clearly show where a product was produced. Although the government announced changes to the food label guidelines, farmers don't feel the measures of the new guidelines address their concerns. Confusion remains around what the label actually means and how it compares to other common labels such as Canada Grade and Canada Fancy. If the new label guidelines are to have any impact, consumers must clearly understand what Product of Canada and Made in Canada mean. Farmers have called for the creation of an overseeing stakeholder committee to see that the new labels function as they are meant to. How will your party work in partnership with duly elected farm organizations to ensure labeling rules meet the needs of farmers, processors, and consumers? Also, will your party adopt the recommendation of well-funded national communication programs led by industry and consumer stakeholders to promote Canadian food to Canadian consumers?
Thank you very much. There's two issues at play here, in my view. One is the labeling itself and governments making sure that there's integrity in that system, that we're actually labeling what, in fact, is in the product, and people know that when they pick something up off the counter that and it says made in Canada, that it is truly made in Canada, a product of Canada. We have a number of commitments in our platform, for example, requiring labeling of genetically engineered foods and farmed fish. We will require full accuracy and accountability for labels stating made in Canada. Example, milk producers in my area are concerned about the products that are in ice cream and people not understanding what that means. Which brings me to the second part of this, which I think is really important, which is actually the question. Will government put money into a public communication strategy, education of our people? And I say that's essential. We need to be talking to each other. Farmers, again, that I talk to are very interested in a closer relationship with the consumers of the products that they're producing. And in fact, there are a number of really exciting and interesting new initiatives happening across this country that my colleague, the actual ag critic for the NDP, Alex Adamenenko, has heard as he's crossed the country over the last 6 months doing a food security tour. He's met with people, grassroots movements who are taking food matters into their own hands through community harvests, 100-mile diets, community-supported agricultural products, local brandings, branding, co-ops, restaurant farmer agreements, and city food charters. So today, I urge you to judge every single word spoken by the Conservatives and the Liberal parties and to measure that against their actions and their failing to help farmers and farming in this country. What we need, I believe, in Ottawa after this election is a new Democrat government with more members of Parliament committed to the kinds of things that I've spoken about here today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Minister Ritz.
Thank you for the question. Of course, when Canadians go to the grocery store, they want to be able to find Canadian foods and assure that that's what it is they're buying. We did change these regulations a short time ago. They will come into effect January 1st of 2009 to make sure that foods labeled product of Canada are Canadian inside and out. For products put together in Canada with imported ingredients, they will be labeled made in Canada with imported ingredients. Truth in labeling. What a good concept. We consulted with thousands of Canadians about the new definition for the product of Canada, and more than 90% of thousands of responses agreed with our direction. I know Wayne Easter himself has said, and I quote, "The new regulations would provide consumers with honest information on the contents they purchase, and the changes would also increase the consumption of Canadian products." So that speaks to the 100-mile diet, to the local people, to the flea markets and so on. This is Canadian product. They'll be proud to put that label on it. We as a party have never supported labeling based on cost rather than content. We see that as backwards, and we want to flip that around so that what you buy is based on the content of that packaging, not on the cost.
Thank you. Wayne Easter.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Garnett, for your question. It is indeed an important question because I think Canadians really want to buy Canadian product, but they need to know that they're buying Canadian product. And we could have got to what Garnett is asking us to do as government if the Standing Committee on Agriculture and Agri-Food would have been listened to. We held hearings. We knew this was an issue. But even about 2 weeks before the report that comes down, what does the Prime Minister do? Because he puts politics over reason. He puts politics over leadership. And it's all about messaging when it comes to Stephen Harper. And so he went with the proposal that Minister Ritz talked about. We need to go much further than that. We need to ensure that when it says product of Canada, it is the contents of the package that is product of Canada. That it can't be that consumers can't be confused by other names such as Canada Fancy. And the Liberal Party on this point will put $30 million toward a program for the promotion of local farmers' markets, the branding of Canadian growing foods, and the marketing, because that's an important part. Canadians need to understand what they're buying when they see a label. And the Government of Canada has a responsibility to farmers to ensure that that marketing is done so that on farmers' behalf, consumers are buying Canadian product with the assurance from the Government of Canada that it is indeed a Canadian product. That's where the Standing Committee wanted to go. That's where we're going. We were undercut by Stephen Harper because he put politics first.
Thank you. And for the last presentation, Kate Storey.
Canada's reputation for quality has always been our competitive edge in the global economy. Canadian farmers are proud of their work and have the right to have food ingredients identified. We need to maintain consumer confidence, and that means transparent labeling. That includes labeling of genetically engineered ingredients. As farmers, we cannot control consumer choice. Canadians and across the world, consumers don't trust genetically engineered foods, and the customer is always right. The Green Party believes in honest, complete, and accurate labeling. Farmers are also slowly realizing that they should reconsider their dependence on genetic engineering. The biggest issue to me is the loss of the farmer's right to save their own seed. Perhaps the Liberal and Conservative candidates would like to tell us why they are pushing us toward a day when all food production is owned by a foreign seed company and hiding that fact behind misleading labeling. Already this spring, farmers in my area were unable to source seed and had saved none of their own. A secure, stable food supply depends on a variety of seed sources and genetics. The Green Party believes that farmers have the right to save seed. We support the independent family farm, and we support consumer demand for accurate, truthful, complete labeling and discourage the use of genetically engineered products. We are proud of the Canada brand and want to ensure that Canada retains its reputation for quality, healthy products.
Thank you. So for our last debate segment on the question of labeling rules and a national communications program, to start it off, Tony Martin.
Well, I think it's absolutely essential, in this instance and to address this this question and the question that was raised before we started, to raise the profile of agriculture and farming across this country. I mean, Ron Bonnet, the vice president of the CFA, who has a farm in my riding, made a very profound statement a few months ago in the media. He said, you can drive by, a big industrial plant in a town like Sault Ste. Marie, the steel plant, and you know immediately the impact of that industry on the economy of our region. You can drive by 25 farms and not have a clue. That is really sad. We need to, as a government, partner, as I've said over and over here today, with our farmers to raise the profile, to make the connections, farmer to consumer, so that when people go out to look for a product that's healthy and they want a guarantee that it's going to be safe, they will know. They will know the farmer, they will know the farmer's practices, and they will be confident that food will be good for themselves and for the kids. But they can't do it by themselves. Farmers are strapped, as I said earlier. The cost of inputs is going up like crazy, whether it's fertilizer or energy. They need government there at the table with programs supporting them to raise the profile of this wonderful industry across this land so that we can all be assured that our food will be safe and there at a reasonable price when we need it. Thank you very much.
Garnett made the point. And that is that the regulatory changes that have been done by the government do not meet the test of really getting to defining what is a Canadian product. And as I said in the beginning, that is the tenor of this government. It's messaging rather than substance. And what we want is action that really counts, whether it's on Project of Canada labeling, whether it's on safety nets, whether it's on AgriFlex, whether it's on supply management and orderly marketing. We actually want action that counts. And we're not seeing that from this government. And this is, as Garnett himself has indicated, this is messaging by the government, but not really dealing with the issue. We want a government that provides, takes strong leadership and provides the action to do the job on the ground so that farmers can prosper and Canadian consumers have the choice of actually knowing when they're buying Canadian product.
And from the government, what's the message?
Thank you, Hugh. Of course, I agree with Garnett that there is a huge educational component that's missing between consumers and producers at this point. You know, when I went to school a lot of years ago, we used to take this type of thing in health class and so forth. You know, we learned about this type of thing. It doesn't seem to be there anymore. There is getting to be a growing connection with fairs and exhibitions, and I'm happy to fund a lot of those more. The 4-H movement out there is doing a great job of connecting urban and rural situations, but we still have that disconnect. You know, there's a lot of people out there that think milk comes off that shelf in Safeway. They don't realize the work and energy that goes into putting it there. Same with a loaf of bread. They don't realize that it's pennies out of that loaf of bread that actually go to producers, and we have to make sure that that message gets out there. I also want to quote Wayne again as we finish here. He talked about the standing committee last spring and how we jumped ahead of him. But listen to this. We knew long ago that this measure would improve and could improve farm incomes and provide valuable information to consumers. But like so many other issues, they just didn't get it done.
Kate Story.
I would say we did and you didn't, Jerry, but anyway.
How did we get into a situation where we can't trust our labels? We don't know what's in the food. You guys have had long enough fooling around with this. We need a fresh perspective. We need a government who is willing to listen to the people. Thank you.
Thank you. You know what? We got 45 seconds.
Okay.
Shouldn't have said that, eh?
I would just like to thank the Canadian Federation of Agriculture for putting on the debate. I believe this election is much bigger than agriculture. We need to do what we need to do in that area. But do we want our Canada back? And Stephen Harper is taking this country the wrong direction. I believe it firmly. We need to make changes.
15 seconds each.
Well, just, you know, we need more New Democrats in Parliament. This is the first chance, I think, ever for Canadians to actually elect a New Democrat government in Ottawa. Let's take advantage of that. You know, real change, the change that we need, an agenda and a platform that's hopeful, is in support of farm families and rural communities and cities, and a government that, in fact, has been accountable and responsible over the years, wherever they've been elected.
Kate Story. 15 seconds, literally.
It's our turn now. The world is turning green. Vote green.
Minister Ritz, 15 seconds.
Thank you, Hugh, and thank you to Laurent and Ron for putting this on. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to all of you for showing an interest in Canadian agriculture, in the dilemma that producers find themselves in every day. As you go to the polls this fall, take a look at what has actually happened in the last 2 years and vote based on what's been done, not what's been said. Thank you.
Thank you very much to all the four participants, Kate Story, Minister Jerry Ritz, Wayne Easter, and Tony Martin for coming here today and spending this time. Also to CPAC for putting it on air, and CFA, and a little bit from CFWF for helping to organize it. And, of course, merci des participants ici aujourd'hui. And to go back to my comment 25 years ago, we couldn't have got any interest in an agricultural debate, and it just shows you how things have evolved and how much the consumers are very much interested in the subject of food, and it's important that this be covered in the way that it has. Thank you.
And this is Deconstructing Dinner. That concludes today's episode featuring recordings from the September 29th agriculture debate held in Ottawa and hosted by the Canadian Federation of Agriculture. You can check out the full two-hour televised debate by linking to it from the Deconstructing Dinner website at deconstructingdinner.ca. And a thanks to CPAC, the Cable Public Affairs Channel, for broadcasting the debate. That was this week's edition of Deconstructing Dinner, produced and recorded at Nelson, British Columbia's Kootenai Co-op Radio. I've been your host, John Steinman. The theme music for Deconstructing Dinner is courtesy of Nelson area resident Adam Shake. This radio program is provided free of charge to campus community radio stations across the country and relies on the financial support from you, the listener. Support for the program can be donated through our website at deconstructingdinner.ca or by dialing 250 352-9600.